thanks for downloading the audio podcast of this week's sermon. We pray you'll be blessed and encouraged with the words you hear.
One of the things I do enjoy, apart from sport and different things, I do enjoy a bit of cooking. I find it really relaxing. Well, I enjoy cooking mainly because it means I don't have to do the dishes, to be totally honest, and that's why I always offer to do it. But one of my favorite things to cook are fajitas, mainly because, again, it's easy. You get a wee kit out of Tesco and you get to put it together. But I really enjoy cooking. And there, I remember one time in particular, I was cooking up an absolute storm in the kitchen, and one of my famous nights, Mexican nights in the Johnston household. And I remember one time that we were cooking, I was cooking the fajitas, and I was getting together the chicken that was cooking in the pan over there. I was chopping up some onions over here. It looked like Gordon Ramsay. It was amazing. And then I also like doing nachos, but I don't like doing just cheese in my nachos. I like adding bits to it. So I found a jar of jalapenos in the cupboard. And I went, that's a divisive one. That was more divisive than the Liverpool Man United one this morning. But I tried to open the jar of jalapenos, and it wouldn't open. Went and got the tea towel, you know, that old trick. I don't even know what it actually does. Is it to get more grip? I don't know what it actually does. But I got the wee tea towel, tried that, wouldn't open. Tried to, like, gently smash it with a knife, and it wouldn't open. So then after a while, I just decided, you know what, I'll just leave the jalapenos. We'll just have boring nachos tonight. And I put them back, the jar of jalapenos back in the cupboard. And it was funny. I remember we moved out of the house that we were in at the time. And it was like a year and a half later. And we were clearing out the kitchen. And the jar of jalapenos were still sitting. Dear knows what color they were. They weren't green anyway. But they were sitting in the cupboard. And they're there. And I wonder, has anyone started something? Or has anyone ever tried the on their journey with God, or just your journey through life, if you don't know him, and you've just stopped halfway when you've been looking for an answer to something? You've just stopped. And sometimes there's moments in our lives we can be so determined to find an answer in life or from God, and at the first hurdle we give up and we just leave what we're looking for lying in the back of a cupboard to rot, to go out of date, like that jar of jalapenos did. At times, we can give up far too easily, and we tend to miss out on something just because we didn't have the perseverance or the drive or the desire to get what we were wanting or we were looking for. There's a beautiful passage in Scripture. If you have your Bibles, turn to Mark chapter 2. And in this passage, if this group of people had given up halfway through, something miraculous, something beautiful wouldn't have taken place in this story. Mark chapter 2, and we're going to read the first 12 verses. And it says this: when Jesus returned to Capernaum several days later, the news spread quickly that he was back home. Soon the house where he was staying was so packed with visitors that there was no more room, even outside the door. While he was preaching God's word to them, four men arrived carrying a paralyzed man on a mat. They couldn't bring him to Jesus because of the crowd, so they dug a hole through the roof above his head. They then lowered the man on his mat right down in front of Jesus. Seeing their faith, Jesus said to the paralyzed man, "My child, your sins are forgiven." But some of the teachers of the law who were sitting there thought to themselves, "What is he saying? This is blasphemy. Only God can forgive sins." Jesus knew immediately what they were thinking, so he asked them, "Why do you question this in your hearts? Is it easier to say to the paralyzed man, 'Your sins were forgiven,' or 'Stand up, pick up your mat, and walk'? So I'll prove to you that the Son of Man has the authority on earth to forgive sins." Then Jesus turned to the paralyzed man and said, "Stand up, pick up your mat, and go home." And the man jumped up, grabbed his mat, walked out through the stunned onlookers. They were all amazed and praised God, exclaiming, "We've never seen anything like this before." And just before this passage in Mark chapter 1, we see Jesus is performing a number of miracles. And in verse 28, Mark tells us the news of Jesus spread throughout the whole area of Galilee. And it's no surprise that when we read this in Mark chapter 2 that Jesus was surrounded by a vast amount of people, that the house he was in was packed and there was no room. We see Jesus was seemingly trying to avoid the crowds, and he went to this house where he stayed, but the news that he was there spread very quickly, and this great multitude of people showed up. And I think this large group of people came looking for a shoe. They had heard all these incredible things Jesus was doing in the chapter previous. All these rumors were starting to spread about this man, this miracle-working man. He's putting on this show. So these people came to the house expecting to be entertained, or maybe even they were looking for something themselves. Nonetheless, Jesus took the important opportunity in that moment to preach God's work. And throughout the Gospels, we see this is an incredibly amazing and an important focus of his ministry. And we don't know exactly what the sermon was. We don't know word for word. We haven't got his notes off iCloud or anything. We just have what the Bible tells us. And we can see in Matthew 4:17 that we can take and probably assume that what Jesus was saying was that Jesus was most likely preaching the need for repentance and that the kingdom of God was at hand. He was preaching the need for repentance and that the kingdom of God was at hand. And that's important for us to remember. And we'll come back to that in a minute. There were four friends and one man. Four friends, one man. A really well-known story. This man who was paralyzed on his mat and his four friends brought him to Jesus. They came to Jesus like the rest of the crowd did to see this man they had heard perform a miracle. When the friends got to the house, they saw they were too late. The house, it was packed. They couldn't get through the front door. But instead of giving up, they were determined to get their friend to the feet of Jesus. They knew that this would be the only way they could see their friend healed. And in Jewish homes, the roof was accessible through an outside stairway. The roof itself was made of thatch or dirt or tiles that were laid over beams. And it was a messy job for the friends in that moment to dig that roof. It was a dirty job. It was also extremely controversial if you're the owner of the house for people digging a hole in your roof. But it didn't deter the faith of the friends. This group of friends were absolutely determined that their friend would be brought before Jesus that day. They could have said when they got to the front door, "You know what, mate? Another time, we'll get them. He's traveling around. We'll see him somewhere else. We'll go home. We'll go home. We'll get a takeaway on the way home." They could have easily given up in that moment, but they knew that in that moment, in that time, that their friend needed to get to Jesus. And I wonder this evening, how many people have we got in our lives that we know need brought before Jesus? How many people do we walk and brush shoulders with day to day that we know needs brought before Jesus, but we just say, "We'll get them another time. We'll invite them another time." The Bible is clear that we don't know what tomorrow will bring. And this group of friends were aware of that in some way and knew that it was in that moment, although the house was packed, there was no way in the conventional way to get to Jesus. They knew that they needed to try everything to get their friend to the feet of Jesus. They understood that this was the only opportunity they would get to get their friend into the presence of Jesus. So these friends decided they'd force the issue. They bypassed the crowds. They ripped off a roof. They lowered a friend down in this extremely radical way to get to the feet of Jesus. And I think we could do with learning from their faith and determination. Not just for a physical healing of people that we know and people that we love, but for the spiritual side of it too. We'll get to that in a wee minute. But the spiritual healing of people, that they were in this moment, in this passage, that they decided that actually we're going to force the issue and get our friend to the feet of Jesus, because we can see in this passage, it wasn't just physically, his legs weren't just healed, but his soul was healed too that night. Jesus tells him, "Friend, your sins are forgiven." And that's why I think, When we referred to Matthew chapter 4 at the start, that Jesus was preaching, "Repent, for the kingdom of God was at hand." I think it was honestly, if someone came down from the roof now, I'd freak out. But Jesus thankfully didn't, and he knew it was like a sermon illustration at the time. He used it for his opportunity to show that the kingdom of God was at hand and to show the people around the power of God being used through him. The man was lowered at the feet of Jesus so he could walk again. But instead, he found that he was able to now walk into eternal life because his sins were forgiven. Because of the faith of his four friends, this man walked in the physical and rejoiced in the spiritual. Jesus healed him from his ailment, but he also forgave him from his sin. And I don't know where you're at with God tonight, but Jesus is the same. He still works in the same way today. And I fully believe the Bible when it says Jesus the same yesterday, today, and forever. I fully believe the Bible when it tells me that Jesus is a healer. It's on your window. And, well, you're not going to see it because it's dark, but I saw it this morning. Trust me, it's there. You can look next week. But he's the healer. And I fully believe that if Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever, he is the same God who healed that man in that moment. And he's the same God healing people and working in lives today. I wonder this evening, are we willing to rip off the roof, maybe even draw a bit of attention to ourselves to receive the blessings from Christ? I think there are three lessons for us this evening from this passage of Scripture for us to help on this journey of life to receive either healing or just whatever it is we're going through. The first lesson is don't give up. If you look at verses 2 to 4 again, it says, soon the house where he was staying was so packed with visitors that there was no more room, even outside the door. While he was preaching God's word to them, four men arrived carrying a paralyzed man on a mat. They couldn't bring him to Jesus because of the crowd, so they dug a hole through the roof above his head. Then they lowered the man on his mat right down in front of Jesus. When this group of friends got to Jesus, it was too late. They couldn't get to him the conventional way. The front door was packed. There's people everywhere. And they couldn't get to Jesus the way they knew how. But they didn't give up on their friend. And so often when we try or we're asking God for healing, we're asking God to move in our lives, we're asking God to do something, or we're maybe wandering through life and wanting and asking questions and we don't know what's going on. Maybe we get to this point where the conventional way isn't working anymore. Going through the front door doesn't work because there's too many people around. There's too much noise and there's too many things. Maybe we arrive to God in our way. We arrive at the house and see it is packed and we can't get to Jesus the way we know how. But just because we can't get through the conventional way, just because we can't get through the way we know how, we can't give up. If those four friends gave up the conventional way or the way that was obvious through the front door, their friend wouldn't have been healed that day. When we're faced with obstacles, we need to know that Jesus is there. We need to know that there's another way to get to him. We just might not see the answer yet. Those friends, when faced with an obstacle, knew that the place for the miracle and healing and the answer for prayer was at the feet of Jesus. So they did absolutely everything they could to get to his feet. They didn't give up. I'm going to make a bit of a confession. I really can't stand sitting in traffic. I think it's one of the things on this planet that frustrates me more than anything else. What I tend to do, and I actually don't know if it's any easier, I tend to like go the least conventional way to get to my route. If I get stuck in traffic, I'll just say, oh, there's a road to the right. I wonder where that'll take me, just so I'm not sitting idle. I'll do everything I can to get moving again. I tend to turn off and go these wee side roads and streets, and my car gets absolutely wrecked because of it. And dear knows where I end up, and I probably end up wasting so much diesel doing it. But I'm so determined to get to my destination that I'll not let sitting in traffic stop me. And I wonder, are we too comfortable sitting in traffic in our lives to receive the answer of prayer? Or are we a little bit impatient and we try to go a completely different way and we fear off the journey because we can't see God? Or are we determined to wait and see what God will do and how God will move? These friends, they did not give up. They could have, but they didn't. It wasn't even for themselves. It was for someone else. And they were determined to see their friend at the feet of Jesus. They saw a different way to get to Jesus. The front door was blocked, so they found a new way. I wonder this evening, what are the obstacles in your life? Is it unbelief? Is it fear? Do we even doubt that Jesus can heal? Or do we think that maybe our need tonight is too big for God? We cannot give up. No matter what this might be, God is above it all. And at the feet of Jesus, we find answers. At the feet of Jesus, we find healing. At the feet of Jesus, we find what we're looking for. I'm not saying that we force God's hand. I know that healing comes in His will and in His way, but we cannot give up on getting to the feet of Jesus. It is at His feet we find healing. It is at His feet we find peace. And it's at His feet we will find His presence. We cannot give up on seeking the feet of Jesus and His presence. If we give up on the answer of prayer, we at times lose sight of Him. Do not give up. Seek His presence over the answer. Maybe you're here this evening and you have a need and you're ready to give up. Don't give up. Like I said, if those friends give up, their friend wouldn't have been able to say, "My sins are forgiven." Their friend wouldn't have been able to pick up his mat and walk. At the feet of Jesus, we will find the answers. They didn't give up on their friend, and they got him to the feet of Jesus. Do not give up. Lesson number two is this. We need to make a mess. If we don't give up on Jesus and getting to His feet, the next lesson for us is that sometimes in life we need to make a bit of a mess. We talked about how we can give up when we can't get through the front door. But we see in verse 4 that the friends decided to make a bit of a mess to be able to get to Jesus. The roof was made of dirt. It was made of dust. And making a hole in it would have been extremely messy. And it would have been distracting. We need to prepare to make a mess to receive the healing or the answer to prayer. I wonder this evening, what does the hole in the roof look like in your life? Maybe the mess is letting go of hurt or pain that we've held for years against people or even God. Maybe it's a religious attitude because something isn't how it used to be. Maybe we've built up these walls and we've become bound by chains and we need to tear down the wall and smash those chains and make a mess to get to the feet of Jesus. What is in your way? What are the obstacles? What needs to become messy before we get to the feet of Jesus? What mess are you willing to make? Isaiah 43:19 says, For I am about to do something new. See, I've already begun. Do you not see it? I will make a pathway through the wilderness. I will create rivers in the dry wasteland. To be able to see what God has started, to see His healing and His blessings, we need to make a mess. And that looks like fighting against our flesh, removing chains that are holding us back, and make a mess to get to the feet of Jesus. The sole purpose of the mess of these friends, I'm sure, wasn't to annoy the owner of the house, wasn't even to annoy Jesus or distract him or to interrupt his sermon. The sole purpose of the mess that they made was to get their friend to the feet of Jesus. They made a mess, then they lowered their friend down to the feet of Jesus, and at the feet of Jesus, that man found healing and he found hope. Are you willing to make a mess to get to the Savior's feet? And we see this play out beautifully in the Gospels when Jesus' feet are anointed at Bethany. Mary, the sister of Martha and Lazarus, she makes a mess where she puts this beautiful and expensive perfume and pours it over the feet of Jesus, anointing Him and blessing Him. She made a mess and she received a blessing. If we are seeking an answer to prayer, seeking God to move in our lives, we need to make a mess with some things that are in our heart. These things are the obstacles that are blocking the front door. Making a mess is making space in our hearts for God, making intentional gaps to trust Him and allow it to be filled by the awe and the wonder of His presence. To receive that answer to prayer, I wonder tonight, is there a mess to be made? I wonder what needs to be set aside in your life. What needs to be broken to get to the feet of Jesus? We need to make a mess. And sometimes making a mess could be painful and it can be hard. But that mess is letting go of some things in our lives that are holding us back from getting to the feet of Jesus. The friends made a mess and they saw their friend healed. The third and the final lesson for us in this passage is that simply we need to keep our faith to help us not give up. And to help us make a mess, we need to keep our faith. Verse 5, Jesus, it says this, seeing their faith, Jesus said to the paralyzed man, My child, your sins are forgiven. Seeing their faith, Jesus saw their faith and said to him, he was forgiven. In that breath, Jesus healed his soul and he healed his legs. It was the faith of the man's friends that compelled Jesus to heal him in that moment. It is our faith that can compel God to bring healing and answers when it is in his will. If we look at a pattern throughout the Gospels, Luke 17:19, when Jesus heals the 10 lepers, it says this, and Jesus said to the man, stand up and go, your faith has healed you. In Matthew 9:22, Jesus heals the woman with the issue of blood. It says Jesus turned around, and when he saw her, he said, daughter, be encouraged, your faith has made you well. And the woman was healed at that moment. Mark 10:52, Jesus heals blind Bartimaeus. And Jesus said, go, for your faith has healed you. Instantly the man could see, and he followed Jesus down the road. Four examples, Mark 2, Luke 17, Matthew 9, and Mark 10, where people have healed. And the answer is in faith. Jesus heals them because of the faith of the people. Was it the fact that they were looking for something that Jesus healed them? Or was their faith just for a transaction? If we look again at Luke 17, the lepers cry out in verse 13, Lord, have mercy on us. It wasn't a cry of, Lord, heal us from our afflictions, heal us from our illness, heal us from our pain. It was the fact that they knew Jesus was Lord, and their faith in Jesus saw them healed. When the one leper returned, he was praising God. Their faith was in Jesus, not what he can do. In Matthew 9, the woman has so much faith. She knew Jesus was so powerful that he was the healer. Her faith in Jesus and the fact that even touching his robe would heal her. In Mark 10, blind Bartimaeus, like the 10 lepers, called on the Jesus, the Son of David, to have mercy on him again. He knew that Jesus was the Messiah. He had faith in the Messiah and received healing. It wasn't having faith in the fact that they could receive something. It was faith in the person that is performing the miracle for them. Our faith cannot be in what Jesus can give us. It needs to be in Jesus himself. We need to keep our faith. We need to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. I definitely do not have all the answers, but I know that when we keep our faith in Jesus, that he will do the rest. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, for we live by faith, not by sight. We keep our faith in Jesus, not the answers, not the issues, not the problems. We keep it in Jesus. If we have faith in what Jesus can do, I think at times we will be disappointed, not because of Jesus, but because of our expectations that things need to be done in our will and in our way and in our timing. But when we follow Jesus for who he is, we will never be disappointed because our eyes are fixed on the author and perfecter of our faith. Our eyes are fixed on the victor. Our eyes are fixed on Jesus. We need to keep our faith in Jesus. All of these stories and scriptures, they have two things in common. These people called upon Jesus, and their faith in Jesus saw a blessing they couldn't get anywhere else. We can't give up. We need to make a mess, and we need to keep our faith. In Mark 2, the friends did something I imagine was so uncomfortable and awkward for them, but the result was so much greater than they could ever imagine. I wonder this evening, do we have a physical need? Or maybe, as it's already been asked, maybe we don't know God this evening. God performs miracles, and he can heal at any moment and any time. We can't be put off by others around us. We need to follow the example of the lame man and his friends, who in front of a big crowd lowered their friend down to the feet of Jesus. God still heals. We need to go to the feet of Jesus. We can't give up. We need to make a mess. And we can't lose our faith. And maybe this evening you don't follow Jesus. Well, what you've heard tonight is called the gospel. It's good news. By knowing that you've fallen short of God's glory, that you sin, and bringing that to Jesus and placing your faith and trust in Jesus, he will heal your soul like he did with that lame man. He will forgive your sins, and he'll perform the greatest miracle, which is salvation. Or maybe there's people here this evening and we need a touch from Jesus the healer? Are we willing to be like the four friends and make a bit of a mess in our lives and in our hearts and let go of some things and bring it to the feet of Jesus? What obstacles do we need to overcome? What mess needs to be made? And I wonder this evening, where is your faith? I believe Jesus heals. I believe the Bible is God's word. And I believe this evening, if we take these lessons from Scripture and learn from them, if it is in God's will and in God's way, he will move tonight. Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus. And maybe you are here tonight and you don't know Jesus as your own and personal Savior. You don't know him as Lord. You don't even know him as the healer. I wonder this evening, as the question's been asked already, where are you with God tonight? I wonder tonight, maybe as you've been wandering through life and you've been looking for answers, I can promise you, you'll find the answers you're looking for only in one place, and that's at Jesus' feet. So I encourage you, if that is you tonight, don't go away. Come and have a conversation. There's people here who'd love to talk to you. Don't go away without getting a chance to get to his feet this evening.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like any more information, have a look at our website at www.ballymoneyelam.com.